I wonder if you've ever taken the time to read through the scriptures from the beginning to the end. If you have, you might notice that there is something that covers the pages of the Bible. It's blood. The Bible is a bloodstained narrative about broken people living in a bloodstained world. It begins with the very first chapters of the first book of the Bible, with the first people ever created. Adam and Eve have blood on their hands. They are sinful rebels shaking their fists at God, saying, "We don't want you," and so plunging all of humanity into darkness. Yet even there, we see God's mercy and love. How? He sheds the blood of an innocent animal to clothe the first couple, to protect them from the elements, to cover their shame. But the reality is, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. One son would kill his brother in anger, and so likewise the apples continue to fall from the tree in a similar fashion, day after day, year after year, time after time, all the way to today. Praise God that in his grace and love and mercy, he institutes a sacrificial system that by the shedding of the blood of a perfect animal, the pardoning of the life of an imperfect person, our blood should have been spilt. Instead, an animal dies in our place. But the blood of an animal can never atone for the sins of humanity. It was pointing to something bigger. You see, blood is life as well as the price. Each and every one of us have been born into life, which brought forth both pain and blood. For most of us, there's this innate understanding that the world is not the way it should be. It's broken. There seems to be suffering and pain and turmoil and blood and calamity and stress and distress and fear and anger. The world is broken. We taste it firsthand, do we not? Perhaps from our own sinful actions, or maybe from the collateral damage of the humanity that lives around us. We can try to close our eyes tightly and pretend like it's not there. But the bliss of ignorance is unsustainable, because eventually the pain of sin finds its way to creep into our life, and the downward spiral of death and decay continues and marching forward day after day after day. You see, blood is life as well as the price. The stain of our sinfulness is not just exterior, it's interior. Our feet are quick to shed blood, we are told. Our hands are quick to do damage. Our words are quick to cut to the heart of another. We run towards these things. We speak these things. We think these things, because sin isn't just outside there. It's in here. We could try scrubbing out the stain. Perhaps maybe you think you can do it. With good works, maybe you shout out, "Damn spot, out." Scrub your whole life. You will find you scrub in vain, because you can never wash the stain of sin. Because you see, the stain of sin can only be washed by blood. Because blood is life as well as the price. So we come to Good Friday. It seems so odd that we celebrate this day, because it is just marred in blood. We approach the cross often with our heads hung low, because we have forfeited life by our own sinful actions. What I want us to do in a way this evening is to lift your head up. Gaze upon the perfect Son, Christ Jesus, hanging from a cross. He has been beaten and marred. He is crucified. He is stained with his own precious blood, pouring out from not just nail wounds or a crown, but from the sheer weight of carrying the sin of the world. You can look away in disgust. Perhaps you think, it's not my sin that's upon him. But the reality is, if you are a Christian, you can't ignore this thing. It's this reality. The center of our faith is filled with blood. The hope of the Christian is rooted in the most horrendous act ever. Because what we see is not just a mere man, but the Son of God. And by Son of God, I mean God in flesh. The Lamb of God, the one who came to die on a tree so that we might be free, that we might be made new, that we might be brought back to him. Blood is only washed away by blood. It doesn't matter how high the pile of drained carcasses of animals might have been, no animal is sufficient to bring the full salvation needed for our sinful humanity. But this one, this Christ, this Jesus, nailed to a roughly hewn cross, is the perfection dwelling in flesh. God alone can satisfy. God alone. So out of grace, God comes to save the race that is already covered in our own sinful mess. By taking on flesh, this lamb comes before the altar, sheds his spotless blood to bring cleansing, atonement, forgiveness, life, and redemption. No one is deserving of it, but rather, all who receive it find blessing. See, what you have to understand is blood is the price, but Christ's blood brings life. One of his disciples, Peter, who, interesting enough, runs and flees when Jesus is arrested, follows him, sees these things happening. He would later write in his first epistle, "You were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your fathers." That's Peter's way of saying, you are ransomed from the sin that we have been doing from the beginning. How? Peter answers us, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, that like a lamb without blemish or spot. It's interesting that we have Paul, who originally is a persecutor of the church, but when God reveals himself to him, is radically changed, and the thing he wanted to snuff out, he then becomes the strongest supporter of. This one who probably mocked the death of Christ and the fact that Christians were exalting it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, "Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Why do we celebrate Good Friday? Why do we call it good? It's because by the blood of God on a cross those years ago, he could say it is finished. Blood was the price, but Christ's blood brings true life. When was the last time you gazed upon the suffering servant that Isaiah speaks of and thought, that's because of me. When was the last time you've come into church and you felt the burden of your sin, your depravity, your evil? When was the last time you thought you were evil? And I say this not to make us feel bad on this Good Friday, but so that you gaze a little bit further, a little bit deeper into the glorious act that we celebrate this day. So if you have, here's what I want us to do. I want you to take a moment and think about some of that. Perhaps years ago you realized, man, I was wild, I was crazy, and then I came to know the Lord and he changed me. But if you're a human being, which I assume all of us are, if you ponder the depths of your heart, you will find that there's probably still some sin you're battling. And so as you came in, you received a sheet of paper or you picked one up. If you don't have one, please just raise your hand. One of the ushers will grab you one. But what I want you to do is I want you to take some time here for a moment, and I want you to contemplate what is it, Lord, that I still need your righteous blood to be poured out upon this? You've already forgiven me of it, but I need to experience maybe a deeper experience of your righteousness covering over even this sin. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, maybe think about something you don't want anybody to know about. Or maybe there's something in your life like, I give all of this to you, Lord. This is for you, but this here's for me. Whatever that thing is, that's called idolatry. And that would be something you might want to contemplate. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. Maybe you have one. Maybe you have a list. Maybe you're like me and you need pages. Write those things down. Nothing magic is going to happen here. But what I'm hoping to do here is, in a tangible way, you are understanding, I am laying this sin down before the Lord, trusting in him alone to be able to wash this away so that I can be forgiven, so that I can have new life, that I can experience the joy of God conquering every aspect of my life, that I may live for his glory. So as you write that down, what I want to encourage you to do is you can come forward, and we have in these baskets some nails, and I think Josh is bringing out some hammers here for you. And at your leisure, after you spent some time contemplating, after you spent some time praying and you've written these things down, come forward whenever you want. We'll have multiple hammers, we'll have multiple places, and in a way, what we're doing is we're physically displaying a spiritual reality. We are casting our sins onto the perfect God who came to die in our place so that the wrath that we deserve has been removed from us, and that when Christ died in your place, God looks at you if you would believe in him. Believe in Christ, believe in his death, believe in him, believe in his resurrection. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ upon you. He sees my beloved. He sees ones he has claimed as his inheritance. So take a moment to contemplate, and then as you will, feel free, we have two sections here. Nail those things.